I invite you to take your Bibles and go with me to the book of Ecclesiastes. I'd like you to look at the third chapter, Ecclesiastes chapter number 3. I want to thank the Lord for this church and your kindnesses to me. Thank you for the accommodations, the food, the fellowship. All of those things make up your hospitality. And I'm grateful. I'm really grateful we get to learn together. I think that that is a huge part of what makes Graham Road a great place, is that anywhere on the spectrum of normal, you can show up here and find a place, right? You could be on the Mark side of normal to the Buddy side of normal. Well, listen, you don't sit on the same side of the church. I figured it was safe. I mean, I got to represent my Jessup brother over there. So I preach in his town in Georgia once a year, Sunday to Sunday. It's one of the few meetings that I do a Sunday to Sunday, but it's there in Jessup, Georgia. And that's his stomping grounds. But everybody fits here. That's pretty good. That's a good testimony to have. And I'm glad that I get to spend a few days a year with you and fit in with you as well. There's been a lot on my mind all week. Most of the days I spent in the, you call that the heaven loft? Whatever. The upper loft room, and studying, writing, praying, trying to get to where we need to be. And in the process of searching God, I pray that you have found what you've needed this week. The very first family conference, I guess that would be 7 years ago or so? 8 years ago? Okay. Yeah, it's on the sign behind me. I should have thought about that. 8 years ago, or this is the eighth, so it would have been seven. Don't judge my math. And I thought about, wow, what a journey we've come. There's no way to have done these messages on year eight that we did in year seven. Year seven, it was a little messier. That's not saying anything about the people, nor the leadership, nor the speaker. It's just, we were a church, we were a different maturity. And here we are, we're at a different place. We're not here to pat ourselves on the back. We're just growing. And so this is where we are in our growth. And these are the subjects that we're ready to handle that God had for us. I want to approach the subject of priorities in the home. Balance in the home. And a purpose within the home. So I'm going to ask you some questions. And my questions, if you asked the Timothy group, Titus and Timothy, Titus and Philemon group yesterday, you know that my questions can be really irritating. And so prepare for several irritating questions. How do you decide in your family if you do something? You say, well, there are some things you don't have to decide. The toilet is stopped up. You have to deal with that. Granted. The basement is flooding. You have to deal with that. I'm here for you. I see you. I see you right there. Two floods in a year. We're going to call you Noah from here on out. How do you decide? What are the parameters or metrics or levels that you use to decide? What's your decision tree that you follow? If this is true, then we do this. If this is not true, then we don't do this. Do you have that? Or is your home like the modern American home where it's just reactionary? Where without a purpose, we just react to everything. How do you determine, second question, how do you determine if you omit something? Like you decide, we're not going to do that. What's your basis of decision? For me, I got to thinking about these about 5 years, a little over 5 years ago. I was finishing up my rehab from heart surgery, and I was getting ready to go, I was finishing up recovery, and getting ready to go into rehab for heart surgery. After heart surgery, you have to go through a number of weeks of exercises and getting back to stuff. And I would sit in my chair most every day for hours at a time because that's all I was rated to do. One of those weeks, Joe K came down, and just came and sat in my living room and stared at me while I slept. It wasn't creepy at all, though. It was very kind of him to do. But I determined at that point that I wanted everything I agreed to be just as important as everything I said no to. I wanted the plural of no is no's, but not no's. I wanted my no's to be as clearly defined as my yes's. And I'm asking you the same question. How do you decide if you do something? How do you determine if you omit something? And third question, how do you know what you will buy or what you will sell or what will you trade or what you will commit to or what you will skip or what you will begin? How do you know that? And if I'm guessing your response, you're going to say, Brother O'Malley, those are things we don't think about. They're just things to which we react. And I say then back to you, if that is your answer, is that a Christ-like response to things that happen in our lives? Do I have to say yes to everything? So, well, if it's a church, I got to say yes to everything. Is that so? If my boss asks for it, it's a guaranteed got to do it. But have you figured out how you make decisions in your life? What's the filter that you use to determine every yes you give and every no you give? How many of or who here works a job that you set your own agenda? You probably work for yourself or you're self-employed in some way. Anyone like that here, or does everybody? Well, Pastor is for sure. And Dee, you raised your hand. And I don't know that I know your first name. I'm sorry. Please help me. Mandy. That's right. Mandy's lotions, cream, tallow, you'll feel better cream. I have it in my room. I didn't say anything about the chili being lotion. I'm still taking Pepcid AC. So, D, when you're starting out in a business, you want to say yes to everything. But after you've been in business a while, you realize saying no can be as valuable as saying yes, correct? Correct. Sure, Mandy, same for you. You want all the customers you can get, and then you find out some customers are high maintenance. And it's like, that's not worth it. I've lost my profit just in time. But what about the family? Are we better managers and engineers of our businesses and our time than we are of our family? See, this is where I want you to think about as you engineer or govern your family. I believe most of our homes do not act with intention, and they lack an anchor to say, I know these things have to be true in order for our family to do this. And if these things are not true, then we will not do that as a family. Because what happens? You can get out of balance quickly. If we're speaking of a car tire that needs to be balanced, what happens when a car tire loses its balance? It wobbles. I think at times our church families wobble because they lose the counterweight to their lives. Now, if I'm getting too deep for you, flag me down and I'll go slower. But I need you to understand that a family needs balance. Now, oftentimes, if we think about a typical old school scale, you have a weight on this side and a product on this side. Prayerfully, the person is using a true weight on this side. And then what you have is the tension between the two. When the tension or the weight is equal on one side, it balances. So I want to be careful because church and home should not be in tension. They ought not to be pulling at each other. Home and work shouldn't be in tension. You say, well, my life's a mess then. The first two that you've mentioned, I'm in trouble. Should recreation in church be in opposition? Should church and rest be in opposition? Should school and home be in tension? Should church and school be in tension? You say, wow, you just plowed a whole row right through the middle of my family's field. I struggle with the approach of the modern American family that says the how do we do it all problem. Were we designed to do it all? Should we be doing it all? Should we be trying to match up with what it appears everybody else is doing with ease? Is a mom supposed to do it all? Is a dad supposed to do it all? Who says we have to do it all? And if you feel like you have to do it all, who's picking your list? Or to whom am I giving the power to make me feel less than if I don't do it all? You see why my questions are irritating? Because they're making you think. And these are the things about which we should be thinking in our lives. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. The Bible reads, to everything. Now notice that's not an everything word, that's an everything word. You see the difference? Every space thing. To everything there is a season. What is a season? An indefinite period of time that does have a conclusion. Right? It's something that comes up and then it passes. If you think about it in the ecological sense, we are in the season of fall. It does not last long, but it does last long enough. And after that season, what comes then? Depends if you're from Ohio or not. It's winter, and that too is a season. But here in verse 1, it's saying that there are things that have seasons in our life. Then notice the next thing. It says, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. This one verse is going to help us set our understanding of what our home needs to make good decisions. What does verse 2 say? verse 2 begins to show us how time touches our home. How does time touch our home? A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. Verse 1 through verse 3 talks about how time touches our home. Those are seasons in our life. There's someone in my Facebook feed whose daughter began to, through a disease or something that happened, and I'm still unclear what happened, but they had to make the decision yesterday that they were going to give her organs that could be donated to people today. And so they did something called an honor walk. I had not seen that before, and truthfully, I could not watch it. I saw what the video was, and I saw, and I realized, oh my word, I can't handle that today. They're dealing with their daughter's organs were given away today. That's a season in life. Death is a season. There are times that we build things and times that we break things. There are times where we struggle with stuff and times that we don't struggle with stuff. In verse 4 and 5, time tells us how it touches our hearts. Weeping and laughing and mourning and dancing and casting stones and gathering stones and embracing and refraining from embracing. That's how time touches our heart. Verse 6 through verse 8, you see how time touches our hope. A time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast, a time to rend, a time to sow, a time to for silence and a time for speaking, a time of love and a time of hate, a time of war and time of peace. So if you understand that there's a purpose for everything that happens under the heaven and a season for things, maybe it's then that you can understand what this balance is our families ought to have. If we understand that sometimes there is an incredible season of labor in our homes, so then we have to remember that we need to provide a season of rest in the season of labor. Sometimes there's a season of health difficulties or a season of infancy where you surrender sleep for years. And in those moments, you have to realize that's a season, and I need to provide a season that balances that. If you're all work and all battling and all struggling, you're going to find yourself fatigued and then making really dumb decisions. And then you're not using any kind of spiritual understanding to make a decision. So, Brother O'Malley, what do we do then if we understand that life is filled with seasons? Then at what point do we have to have the balance to figure out what to do? Well, I wrote down four things, just four simple points tonight. Go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6. I want to give you what every Christian home needs to deal with the pressures and problems which make us feel overwhelmed and stress. Deuteronomy chapter 6. The very first thing I want to teach you tonight that your home must have. So if I'm saying must, that's a scripturally mandated thing, okay? So the very first one, you can write this down and then I'll explain it. Your home must have a holy purpose. When we talk about holy, we're talking about that which is set aside to God. I can begin, if you want to just loop back to where I started, how do you make the decisions of what you do and don't do? If you run your decision through, does this decision fulfill my holy purpose? That way you're just not reacting to anything. Better plans are made in peacetime than wartime. When churches go through struggles, it's better that they pre-made their decisions before the struggles come. When a family goes through struggles, it is far better that you've made your decisions in peacetime, so when the battle plan, when the battles come, the season of struggle comes, you just pull out your plan. Say, what did we determine to do? When it was peaceful and we agreed this is how we manage our home, what's the first thing we do? Number one, get a holy purpose. Deuteronomy chapter 6, if you'll follow along as I read. Now, these are the commandments, the statutes, the judgments, the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye may do them in the land whither you go to possess it. I've taught you from this passage of Scripture before, but let me remind you that this is the second giving of the law. The first giving took place earlier. Now that the wilderness wanderers are dying off and they're going into the promised land, he re-gives the law to them. So they're keenly aware they're going to live in a godless territory, and they're gonna have to raise godly kids in a godless world. You say, well, it sounds like the blueprint of what I need. We're here, okay? So now he says, here's the commandments, statutes, judgments, which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou, thy son, and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. That's a holy purpose. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, that ye might increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. What is our holy purpose? Number one, our family know God. Is the decision you're going to make going to help your family know God better or not? Number two, God's purpose is for my family is to obey him. So, Brother O'Malley, we're really struggling with this decision. Okay, pull out your plan. What's your plan? Our family has a holy purpose. What is our holy purpose as a family? That we know God. Number two, it's that we obey God. Number three, it's that we fear God. And we keep his word. No, four things, that's what we do. That's a holy purpose. You say, well, Brother O'Malley, we're trying to decide whether we move to a new town and move to a new job. Okay. What does your plan say? My plan says we have a holy purpose. Will this move help your family to know God, obey God, keep his word, and fear him? So I know there's really not a church nearby. We don't know what we're going to do for a church. Do you have the job yet? No, not really. Where are you going to live? Well, we don't have that settled either. But we want to go do this. Well, that doesn't sound like a holy purpose to me. That sounds like a selfish purpose. So you say, well, that's a big decision. What about the smaller decisions? We're going to buy a car. Is the payment of this car, if we're not paying cash for it, is the payment of this car going to cause us to know God better? Or I'm going to have to work harder or a second job to pay for the car. And I'm going to miss church, and therefore I'll not know God better, fear God better, know his word better. Do you understand how significant this founding document for your family has to be? Number one, you have to have a holy purpose. Number two, I want you to turn with me. These are very simple points. But I want you to turn with me to Joshua 24. That's going to be the book right after Deuteronomy. And it's going to be the last chapter of that book. The more I am in churches, I've come to understand not everybody knows where the books are. It helps to call it out every once in a while to help me remember. I remember I was in a church once where I did what I normally do. I explained where the book was. Someone came to me afterward and said, "I am so glad that you did that. My entire family was here today and they're lost. They know nothing of the Bible, but you took the time to explain to them where the passage was." So let's always keep in mind the unchurched around us and then those that haven't learned the books of the Bible. We've got to be fair and help them along as well. Joshua 24, I want you to look at verse 14. Here's the second thing. I might as well give it to you to begin with, okay? What's the first point? Holy purpose. I was hoping there'd be like a stronger answer there, but maybe you're a little wounded and weary from the points thus far. Number one, there is what? Thank you for appealing to the deaf. I appreciate that. Second one, you have to have a holy ambition. I was reading a preacher from the 1600s. 1689, I think, is when he said it. He said, every family needs a holy ambition. I thought, oh my word, that is so true. What's a holy ambition? It's a deep God-centered desire that aligns with God's will and glorifies Him. A deep God-centered desire that aligns with God's will and glorifies Him. So let's look at verse 14. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him. How? In sincerity and in truth. Put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve. Whether the gods which are of your which your fathers served, that were the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That is a holy ambition. When I fear God, then I do just what He wants. And when I don't fear God, I do what I want. Brother O'Malley, you're trying to make the big decision. Okay, pull out the founding document of your family. It's the Word of God. Do you have a holy purpose that you're fulfilling in this decision? Number two, do you have a holy ambition? Well, it's not really a holy ambition, but it's not a bad one. That's not the same as a holy ambition. Such a strong desire that the only thing that would please God is this decision. Serve Him in sincerity. Serve Him in truth. Put away the idols of your life. Choose who you will serve. And choose for your family. So, well, we're free spirits in our family. We don't make our kids decide anything. Okay, so little Timmy wants to play out in the street. So we don't want to harm his psyche. We just want to let him kind of come to his own decisions on his own. Wow. So what happened in your world? That you've surrendered to a four-year-old? A life decision? I'm not even going to get into societal sins at this point. I'll just tell you this. A holy ambition is set by the father of the home. So, Brother O'Malley, I don't have a father in the home. And I'd say work hand in hand with your pastor or deacon and make the best decisions you can from the Word of God. But if your family does not have a holy ambition that every decision that you're making is filtered through, then you need to suspend that decision until there's a holy ambition that's decided. You say, well, I thought tonight we would like end on a really high note and we'd be swinging from the chandeliers. I didn't expect it to be this heavy. I haven't finished. I have 4 points. I'm only on two. A holy ambition, number three. Every family must have a holy mission. Go with me to Mark 12. Mark chapter 12. Ryan, when you finish writing that point out, would you go to Pastor's secret stash of water? Not the ice ones, but the water ones, and get me one more bottle. I finished my one, and I need to have another. That way I can go another hour. Mark chapter 2. Look, my flight doesn't leave till 6:30. I don't have to be at the airport until 4:30, so we're fine. Mark chapter 12, and I want you to go to verse number 29. You're going to find familiarity. May I review with you the first points? The first point is every home needs a holy struggle bus. Number two, every home needs a holy
ambition.
Thank you, church. Number three, every home, every family needs a holy mission. What is the holy mission of your home? When you're thinking about, I need to make this decision, then pull out your workflow chart, your decision tree. We decide things if all things are true on this sheet. The decision we're trying to make is we're buying a house in another town. There is no church there. There are no other Christians nearby. And we don't even have a job and we don't have a house. And this is what my husband wants to do. Number one, does this decision fulfill a holy purpose? Number two, does this decision fulfill a holy ambition? Number three, does this decision fulfill a holy mission? What's our holy mission? 29, Jesus answered him, the first of all commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. You say, well, that sounds like the verse we just read in Deuteronomy. Hello, it is. Next verse. And thou shalt love, we're talking about the holy mission. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. So we're talking about what is our holy mission. Does the decision you're making, does it reflect 100% full capacity of your love for God with all your heart? Is it 100% capacity with all your soul? Does this reflect your love for God with 100% of your strength? Does this reflect your love for God with 100% of your mind? Say, Brother O'Malley, if you put that down to the test, we're not going to make any decision but a decision that pleases God. And all God's people said, Amen. Say, well, I don't get to do anything I want to do. Imagine this, you've released your whole life to God. Everything you have is His. Why should you make decisions that are different than what He wants? A holy mission is, everything we do in our family demonstrates 100% maximum love for God, while at the same time, it demonstrates 100% maximum love for our neighbor. So much so that when we love our neighbor, it looks like we're loving ourselves, that we love them like we love ourselves. So, Brother O'Malley, this is such a hard document to deal with. Holy purpose, holy ambition, holy mission. Yes, 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 and yes. But just show of hands so you know you're with your tribe. How many have ever made a bad decision? That's everybody. How can you make a good decision? Document. Does this fulfill a holy purpose? You don't even have to ask the other questions. If you get no on the first, stop. So, well, I got 2 out of the 4. Then you have a half bad decision. Imagine this. Elisha. Let's say there's some boy that shows up and you're wondering, I think he's the one. I just feel butterflies in my stomach. Take 2 Tums, it'll be fine. I wonder if he's the one. Does he fulfill a holy purpose? Hey, say no, Brother O'Malley, but he's good looking. Doesn't make the list. Does he make you fear God more? Love God more? Obey God more? Well, no, but he's the only one. There might not be anybody else after him. This may be it. It'll be all right. When you're 60, we'll find you someone. But let's say he does. But does he help you fulfill an holy ambition? No, we just... I can't say, but I can say general terms. I'm amazed at how many young ladies reach out to Kim and me and say, my parents don't agree with this guy. Just want to see if you approve. Like, no, don't even ask. If they say no, we don't say yes. It's just that simple. Oh, but Brother O'Malley, the way he looks at me makes me feel like a godly woman. That's not a holy ambition. That's lust. You really don't stand a chance to get a guy. No, it's just we're going to kill them all in Christian love. But if he meets number one and doesn't meet number two, you break it off. Number three, holy mission. Does he make you want to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Does he make you want to love your neighbor as yourself? Or are you the spiritual leader in the group and he's just there to get a relationship with you? Important thing to remember at this point when dealing with male-female relationships, are you listening? All men are liars. I didn't make that up. It was God. He said all men are liars. Run! If the divine sheet pullout of how we make decisions of yes and no are holy purpose, holy ambition, holy mission, we won't make a bad mistake. So keep your list on your phone. And the guy texts right back. Brother O'Malley said to send you this. And here's Brother O'Malley's number. You call him and ask him what those answers, tell him what those answers are. I'd be glad to talk to him. A holy mission. How does the Baldwin family decide they are going to do the next thing? You better have a founding document because otherwise you'll make emotional decisions or irrational decisions or reactionary decisions. And if you're going to do that, then by all means, don't lay God on the, project God on the, your decision. Just simply say, this was a Baldwin decision. We decided this. Number four, I gave you holy purpose, holy ambition, holy mission. Let me give you the holy code. Turn with me to Micah chapter 6. Micah And the best thing I can do is tell you to turn to Matthew, or you might go to the table of contents, but go to Micah, which is before Matthew. You know, I knew I was going to turn there. I should have put a marker there. Now I'm saying the books of the Bible in my head. After Jonah. Where's Jonah? No, I got it. I do. I have it. Okay, here we go. Micah 6, verse 8. Some of you are still turning, and I'm waiting for you. You are my people. Pages stop turning. Micah 6, 8. He hath showed thee, O man. Well, that means if God showed someone something prior to the mention, then it's recorded somewhere in Scripture. And that would be Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12. This is a repetition of that. He has showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. That is the holy code. So what do you mean the holy code? It's the standard by which we live. He said, well, Brother O'Malley, do these have to be in this order? Well, first of all, remember, every decision you make that gets a no on this matrix, you're going to stop anyway. But I think if you don't teach your family the holy code, you've messed up. What's the holy code? Super simple. We don't hurt people. Do justly. We don't hurt people. With words or deeds, we don't hurt people. That's the holy code. Second one. We help people. Love mercy. When God introduces himself, he talks about he has a love that is lasting forever. The idea of loving mercy is the idea of a loving kindness, which is a reflective nature of who God is. So we number one, we don't hurt people. Can you imagine, Emily, I don't guess the kids ever squabble. Perfect home over the Baldwin estate, right? Yeah, clearly. Of course they do, right? All kids do. Tina? Tina's giving me the stink eye. I'm like, don't you even go there. Imagine if we taught the holy code to the kids. We don't hurt people. We don't hit them. We don't pinch them. We don't yell at them. We don't do that. You say, well, my kid does. Let's work on the holy code. You say, well, Brother O'Malley, have you ever dealt with a two-year-old? Yep. You just keep doing it over and over again. And one day, before they walk across the graduation platform at age 18, you think they got it. But you just stay consistent. The holy code, we don't hurt people. Number two, we only help people. Number three, we live like we walked with God. You realize that I could have just taken these 4 points, 1 point a night, and made them the message? Because there's so much here. I think where we make bad decisions, if we pulled out the holy purpose, holy ambition, holy mission, and holy code, we would eliminate the majority of our bad decisions. So, well, Brother O'Malley, you said at the beginning, what has to be true for us to make a decision? I hope that it is a founding document for your family, that you as a family have adopted in peacetime a holy purpose, a holy mission, a holy ambition, a holy mission, and a holy code. We don't hurt people. We help people. And we as a people live like we've walked with God. And the evangelist's son, who's 16 here at the end, what is your name? Andre. Like the giant, the wrestler? Now I won't ever forget you. Andre, you're 16. You've had some opportunities in life to make a decision. I'm guessing at 16 you've had enough time to make a bad decision. What if you started, you took this and Brother John gave you all these four things and you just wrote them on a card, laminate the card. Put it in your Bible. You have a phone, save it on your phone. I will only decide to do something if it fulfills the holy purpose in my life. I will only decide to do something if it fulfills the holy ambition of my life. I will only decide to do something if it fulfills the holy mission of my life. I will only decide to do something if it meets the holy code of my life. Ryan, some girl expresses interest in you. Hand her the card. Until you meet this lady, forget it, you're out of here. And trust me, there are some deceiving, conniving girls who would do nothing more than manipulate the truth to make you believe that they are the holy purpose and the holy mission, and they are the holy ambition for your life, and they have the same holy code you do. Hold, pause. Running okay, Mom and Dad? Oh yeah, they're happy. Some girl may show up with some eyelashes that haven't seen a human ever. And sufficient makeup to not even be sure of what her real skin pigment is. And she may come up with the sweetest voice. Oh, Ryan. Thank you for giving me the card. I've absolutely committed my life to the holy purpose. I know the holy mission. I hold the holy ambition. And I live by the holy code. Oh, please, can I be your girlfriend? Run! We laugh. But we know truth. Julian, are you okay, dear? Kind of funny that a girl would like Ryan. I know. But they're out there. You say, Brother O'Malley, you shouldn't dissuade the kids. And the world shouldn't egg them on. So don't tell me I can't speak from authority of the Word of God. Say, Michaela, I'll never meet a guy. This is it. I'm 20 years old and I'm a spinster. Do you know what that word means? Okay, all right. You decide tonight that I will live my life by a holy purpose and a holy ambition and a holy mission and a holy code. And if some guy somehow makes it through that filter and pastor hasn't shot him in the leg, and somehow it passed my review, and he can do this, I'd say at least say hi. Wouldn't you say, preacher? Amen. You could say hello. Then hand him our number. Okay. Our kids are mature and They can handle this. Their parents are barely mature. This is why we use the Word of God to make our decisions. Whether it's buying a car, a house, or moving, or taking on a new job, Graham Road Baptist Church, this is a mature level message, just telling you now. This is not Christianity 101. This is put your family in order. You've spent a lot of years cleaning up, fixing up, straightening up, getting it right. Now here's your next step. Adopt a holy purpose. Accept the holy mission. Fulfill the holy ambition. And by all means, adopt the holy code. Would you stand with me? Dear Father, tonight I pray that you will help us as believers to take this last message, somewhat heavy, but 100% truth. And that we will be people who in peacetime choose a holy purpose, a holy ambition, a holy mission, and a holy code. God, I realize there are families here that will choke on the first one, struggle with others, maybe want to pick and choose one over another. God, just help them get started with something. May we have dads who will help set the holy ambition in the home and the holy purpose of the home. That they'll adopt the holy code and fulfill the holy purpose. For this I pray in Jesus' name. Sam's going to